We hope you're enjoying today's online experience. If you don't already, give us a follow on social media. We're on Facebook at Water's Edge Gathering. We're also on Instagram at Water's Edge_LC, or you can search within the church app at Water's Edge Gathering. Sit back and relax. We hope you enjoy today's message from Pastor Tony.
This past week, because so many of you have been extremely generous during this time, the Water's Edge Food Pantry was able to serve our community with no strings attached in a really big way. Miss Kelly and her amazing team pulled together the very limited resources that were available for gathering food and essential items. As a result, your church, the Water's Edge, was able to reopen our food pantry this week and safely hand out food to those in need in our community. We were able to make a few hundred bags, as you can see, and the need and the response was huge. Thank you all for staying so connected with the Water's Edge during this time. And thank you so much for your generosity online. Again, thank you. If you have partnered with us financially, this is what you did this week too. You helped feed people. You helped serve the hungry. You actually fed the homeless. And if you're wondering, how did I do any of that? This is how. Anytime you're generous enough to partner with your church financially, then it is you who collaborated together with God Himself to provide what your church needs to serve hurting people. It is you who collaborated with God, not just the people who handed out the bags of food or the hot meals. We are all in this together. And let me tell you something. Your church, the Water's Edge, we're not going anywhere. We're in this for longevity. When all of this is over, we will still be standing strong. We love you all.
I guess it was around 6 months ago, a friend of mine that I grew up with, a childhood friend of mine, he called me. Actually, he texted me. He wanted to come over and talk and hang out. So I said, come on over. And he did. When he came over, we sat on my front porch for hours, it seemed like, and we were just talking. Sometime during the conversation, he began to talk about the past. He began to talk about our yesterdays and all these memories. He would say, remember this person, remember that person, remember when this happened, remember when that happened, remember this, remember that. And then after a while, he left and we hugged each other back when we could hug each other. And we said goodbye. We still stay in contact. But after he left, I started thinking about that whole scene. And it seemed like to me that the only thing he talked about was yesterday. Seemed like to me the only thing he talked about was how things used to be and how things were. Almost like he was still there. Almost like he was still living there, as if those were the best days of his life. There's this fascinating story in the Bible. In fact, it happens right after the resurrection, right after Easter. Jesus has just risen from the dead. And then the first thing Jesus says after he rises from the dead is, "Don't hold on to me." I find that very interesting, very odd, very fascinating. Basically, what he's saying was this: everything is different. That was yesterday's version of me. And don't hold on to me, or don't hold on to yesterday's version of me. Really? That's kind of odd, Jesus, because that's the only version that they knew. But sometimes a little background will help. In the book of Luke, there was a group of women who traveled with Jesus. So as Jesus would travel and he would feed people and perform signs and miracles and teach people and things like that, reach out to people, there was a group of disciples and apostles that followed Jesus that traveled with him, but also a group of women. Most of these women would take care of Jesus, and they also paid his expenses as he traveled around doing his ministry. One of them was Mary Magdalene. The Gospels tell us that at one time in her life, she was possessed by 7 different demons. I mean, what a story. Tormented by these spirits. When she meets Jesus, Jesus is the one who delivers her, sets her free from these tormenting spirits, these demons. So regardless, Mary Magdalene has a story. She has a story to tell. In fact, she feels like she owes Jesus everything. So imagine how she feels when she watches the Roman government and the religious watchdogs crucify Jesus and murder him in public. She hangs around to watch Jesus get arrested. She hangs around to watch Jesus die while all of the other followers and disciples scatter. She still hangs around. And even after Jesus dies, she's still there hanging around when everyone else deserted him. And so she's the one who goes to the tomb to see if Jesus is there. And she's the one who runs into the resurrected Jesus at the tomb, but she didn't know at that time. At the time, she just thought that he was a gardener, the groundskeeper, but it was Jesus. And once she realizes that it is Jesus, she runs to him and she tries to embrace him. She tries to hold him, to hug him. And then Jesus says this, "Mary, don't hold on to me. Mary, don't embrace me." Like, wait, what? This is God. This is God in the flesh. This is Jesus Christ. This is divine love. And the one thing he says is, "Don't hold on to me." Are we missing something? Well, think about it. Mary assumes that he's back. And now they can all go back to the way things were. Back to the good old normal days. Back to the days when they had banquets together. They would sit down and feast together, eat together. They would travel together. They would worship together. They would hug each other when they saw each other. They would serve other people together. Immediately she thought, he's back and we can go back to how things used to be, to the good old normal days, you know? But Jesus had to tell her, "Mary, things have changed. Things are not like they were. Things will never be like they were. Something new is happening."
She turned to leave and saw someone standing there. Who she saw was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" Jesus asked her. "And who are you looking for?" She thought that he was the gardener. "Sir," she said, "if you have taken Jesus away, tell me where you have put him and I will go and get him." "Mary," Jesus said. She turned to him and cried out, "Rabbi," which is Hebrew for teacher. "Don't cling to me," Jesus said. "Don't hold on to me," Jesus said. "For I haven't yet ascended to the Father, but go find my brothers and tell them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." John chapter 20, verses 14 through 17. You and I, all of us really, we love to hold on to the old version of life. We love to hold on to yesterday. But God, he makes all things new. So, what about today?
Oh, how my boys have changed, my two boys. My stepson Aiden is 17 years old. My son Jagger is 10 years old. I can remember a time when the only thing Aiden loved was video games and Disney movies. And now he is in love with his first love, his girlfriend, and he's taught himself how to cook, which is great to me because I like to eat it. And then my son Jagger, he's 10 years old now. Not too long ago, my son Jagger could not fall asleep by himself. I had to lay down with him, and he would beg us to sleep in his room with him. And now, he's 10 years old, now he can't wait for us to go to sleep. He can't wait for Jackie and I to go to sleep so he can stay up to 2 o'clock in the morning by himself in his room playing with his friends on Fortnite. And he wants to fall asleep whenever he wants to fall asleep. Things just don't stay the same. Life is not static. It changes. People grow up. Some people graduate. Some people move away. Some people get married. Some people get divorced. Some people get cancer. Some people lose their jobs. Things never stay the same. After this, Jesus goes to talk to his other disciples, the ones who actually deserted him, the men. And he says this, "It's a brand new day today. I'm about to ascend back to the Father. I have risen from the dead. So this is what I want you to do. Now I want you to go out into the world and live. And as you live, I want you to make more disciples of the people around you. And you teach them to follow me. And you teach them to obey everything that I've taught you. And my spirit is doing something new. My spirit is going to be with you always, even to the end of the age. And today, I will always make sure to provide every provision that you need because I am doing a new thing. And so let's go out, forget about how things used to be, and let's do something new." I think about right now this couple that's having problems in their relationship, and so they secretly wish that life would go back to how things used to be, the way things were. Or I think about that man who's still living in his high school athletic days, even though those were over 25 years ago. And many times at night, he gets depressed, wishing that life could go back to the way things were, to the way things used to be. I also think about those groups of people in our society who think that if we just went back to the good old days, when Leave It to Beaver was on TV, everything would be great. But then again, I think about you and I, how we think about how life used to be before this virus shut down. I can't tell you how many times I've said it, and I've heard other people say it. We long for normalcy. We long for how things used to be. We're all in this situation right now. So for you and I, things are not the same anymore. We are not who we were, and things are not like they were. How much energy do we waste trying to go back to how things used to be? How many opportunities do we miss trying to go back to how things used to be, wishing things were how they were? Now listen, if there's something in your past that you need to remember, if there's something in your past that you need to celebrate, if there's something in your past that you need to grieve or apologize for, by all means, do it. But once you do it, move on. Move on. There's this unnecessary despair that sets into our life when we buy into the lie that things would be better in our life if we could just go back to how things used to be, because when we do that, then we get stuck there. If you're still holding on to yesterday, then your hands and your arms won't be free to embrace the new thing that God wants to do in your life today. Now, think about this. This is how the Apostle James put it in the New Testament. James chapter 4, verse 14, and I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. He says this, "How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like a morning fog, a mist, a vapor. It's here for a little while, and then it's gone." James says this, "Yesterday is never going to come back, and tomorrow is very, very uncertain. So the one thing we have is right now. The one thing we have is today. And by the way, your life is just like this anyway. It's just like a mist," he says. "It's a vapor. It's a fog. It appears for a little while, but then it'll certainly vanish away. And so make sure that you don't miss what's right in front of you today." Now, because of all that, I want to leave you with one question today. If you're still with me, Sam's still with you. This is what it is. What are you missing out on today because you keep longing to go back to yesterday? Right now, there are brand new opportunities in your life today to grow, to change, to create new moments in your life, to create new moments with your family, to create new moments in your faith, and to create new moments with Jesus Christ. Don't miss these opportunities today because you keep wishing you could go back to how things used to be yesterday. Let go of it and embrace the new thing that God is doing right now. Let's pray. Father, today we come to you in the name of Jesus. We love you. We thank you for being good to us. And we thank you for doing a new thing. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. We love you. Thank you for tuning in. We hope you have a wonderful week.
We want to thank you so, so much for joining us for today's online experience. If you found this experience encouraging, or if you have a prayer request, remember to drop that in the comments down below. We'd love to connect with you. We now have four simple ways that you can further partner with the church. The first way is you can give online. You can visit watersedgegathering.com and click on giving. From there, you'll be led to eGive, our online giving platform. Or you can text to give. You can text the word give to 337-223-9003. From there, you can enter your dollar amount, and then you'll be led to on-screen instructions. Or you can give within the church app. Make sure you search Water's Edge Gathering in the church app. And the fourth way is you can give through the mail. You can do so by mailing Water's Edge Gathering at P.O. Box 572, Lake Charles, Louisiana 70602, or Water's Edge Gathering, 2760 Power Center Parkway, Lake Charles, Louisiana 70607. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope you guys have a great week. We love you guys.